Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 324. And the music in the show is brought to you by IOTA PromoNet. And the song for the show is Long Live Jazz by Kathy Sanborn from the album 6 Degrees of Cool. Well, once again, welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host of the show. And Laureen is the co-host, Laureen Romero, and she's coming up in the co-hosted segment today. Actually, she is the co-host and the guest on the show today. Also, I want to mention that the Home Base Travel Agent Show is an affiliate member of the National Association of Career Travel Agents, better known as NACTA. And NACTA has recognized this show as a valuable resource for the travel trade community and made us an affiliate member. And I believe we're the only podcast out there in the world of web media that has this distinction. So I want to thank NACTA for doing that for us. Well, I want to thank all of our valuable listeners to the show and for listening to the show. And I appreciate it. If you're subscribing, you can subscribe through iTunes. Just go to iTunes, the podcast section, and put in Travel Agent, and you'll see the show come up, and you can subscribe to the show right there on iTunes and get it delivered automatically to your MP3 player anytime a new show is produced. Long live jazz. And you can find the Home Base Travel Agents show at hometravelagent.net. That's www.hometravelagent.net. And on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/HBTAS, and that's the initials for the Home Base Travel Agent Show, facebook.com/HBTAS. And I want to thank everyone who has visited the Facebook site and liked the Home Base Travel Agent Show over at Facebook. I really appreciate it. We have several people over there that like the show, and I'd like to see more. So stop over at Facebook and give us a like, and I appreciate that. Well, coming up in the co-hosted segment, Laureen's going to be speaking about her experiences, recent experiences, on the Alaskan Dream Cruise Line ship, the Admiralty, if I can say it, Dream, and she's going to go into some detail about her experiences on that cruise, and I think you'll find it interesting. It'll be another way that you can inform your clients about the great experience of traveling on a small ship, taking a small ship cruise out there by Alaska in the bay of in the bays around Alaska. Now, Laureen's segment goes quite long, so what we want to do is get right into it, because I don't want the show to go too long. You know, we try to keep it to a length where it's convenient for you. If you're commuting back and forth to work, or if you stop by the gym, you can listen to the show during one session at the gym or during a commute to and from work. So with that goal in mind, what I'm going to do is proceed right on into the co-hosted segment. So here we go. Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show, the co-hosted segment. And coming up here in this episode is a wonderful guest. I can't say enough good things about her. Actually, you hear her a lot on the show. Hey, Laureen, how you doing?
Hey, Barry, you're making me laugh. Stop it. Yes, thank you. I love being on the show. So what are we talking about today?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, you went on an adventure up in Alaska, and I think that was a great adventure and something that, you know, our listeners would probably love to hear about.
Oh, it was. It was wonderful. And I really am going to work hard this year to sell this product to my clients. That's how passionate I am about it. It's totally changed my attitude around cruising and around Alaska. We all know, for the listeners who listen to our show, how much I love Alaska and cruising. And this was on a small ship. We have been on European river cruises with Avalon and Amma. And I thought those were small ships. This small ship was way, way different than anything that either one of us had ever experienced. And I really hope that this show brings the attention to this company that they deserve, because they're working really, really hard to make this company go. And I'm very excited about it. We had a guest on, earlier this year. I believe he was in May. He's the vice president of Alaska Dream Cruise, and his name's Michael. He was on the show, and he talked about it, and he did a great interview. I was very curious about what it would be like. I had no concept of what we were going to experience, and now that I have experienced that, really want to share it with everybody so they too can either experience them themselves or bring their clients onto it. Does that work for you, Bear?
Yeah, no, just how did you end up going on this cruise? It was a fam trip, right?
It was. I am a member of NACDA, and they are we're affiliated associates with NACDA, and I'm very appreciative. It's a great membership organization for travel agents. And I've been a member for 6 years, and I just renewed my membership, so I'm excited about it. One of the things that they offer to their members, other than training, to be able to learn products, they're very, very good at having webinars and getting you educated about what kind of products are out there and what's available and how to sell them. The NACDA is not a host agent. They're a membership association, and they have a whole bunch of things that they offer their members, and one of them includes familiarization trips. This was a trip that was offered to NACDA members, and I believe it was only a matter of maybe 8 to 10 cabins were available. This, again, is a very small ship, and I'll explain it. And we all had to be qualified. They needed to know what we sold, what to qualify our clients, that sort of thing. And there were 10 of us that were on the ship. So actually, it was only 5 cabins worth. And everything's included. It's very similar to river cruising where they're on small ships. This is a small ship, small amount of staff, but really high client to staff ratio. In fact, a typical river cruise has approximately 160 passengers, which would be 80 cabins. And that's small when you consider you're looking at Princess ships or Holland America ships, where you're looking at 1,200 to 2,000 passengers, and all the way up to some of the newer ships that are 5,000 passengers on one sailing, which totally blows my mind. And I hear they're wonderful, but to me, 5,000 people is a lot. The Alaskan Dream Cruise Company has currently 2 ships that are on the water. The first one is a 42-passenger ship called the Alaskan Dream. That was not the ship we were on. However, we did pull up to it, and we were able to see it. The one that we had this fam on was a 66-passenger, and it's called the Admiralty Dream. And that ship wasn't even full. It had 44 passengers on it. So picture for all of our listeners in your minds, if you've ever been on a traditional cruise ship where there's typically 1,200 people, many floors. This one, there were 3 floors. And the one downstairs, you really didn't do anything with. Almost all of us were located on the 3rd floor of the ship. All our cabins had metal doors. There were no keys. It was interesting. It's an older ship. They revitalized it. It's wonderful. The cabins were nice and warm. Not a lot of storage. That's not what this is about. It's a small ship. But the concept to me, there were no locks. This literally was a keyless ship. You could be in your room and you can flip the latch, and you put a rope on the hook on the outside if you don't want anybody to come in. But there was no key card to get in and out of your room. And to me, that was like, wow, what a trusting community. And it was completely fine. Trust me. After day one, everybody knew everybody. And there were 20 staff. So we're looking at 44 passengers and 20 staff. So, Barry, wouldn't you say that's a pretty good ratio?
Yeah, I would. That would give you a lot of attention, I think.
The thing that was interesting about this type of crew is the season is only the Alaskan season. They literally start in Sitka and come back to Sitka. They visit places that we've never been before. They're privately owned. They're small. I'd never heard of the Island of Cake. That's K-A-K-E. I'd never been there. I'd never been to Petersburg. There was one area that we spent an entire day that unless you are on a ship that's affiliated, you know, a family member in the Tlingit community, ships don't go out there. We never saw any ships. This is Hobart Bay. We were there all day. And there's one person who lives out there, and he's a caretaker of the area. And what we did there that day, to me, was amazing. We were all exhausted. That particular day, we had three excursions. So, of course, we all just assumed, oh, we'll pick one. Oh, no. Everybody did every excursion. We were all exhausted by the end of the day. And let me tell you, dinner was wonderful, and everybody went to bed way early. They broke us up into smaller groups, and our group, first thing, we did kayaking. It was silent out on the water. You could hear the birds, you could hear the critters, you could just hear all of the paddles in the water. And our group was really small, but it was dead silent. It was amazing. The next trip that we took, we came back, we ate lunch, we relaxed for a little while. And then we went on these Zigus, which are kind of outboard motor jet ski sort of things. We're sitting, they're two passengers each, and had a little engine along the water. It was really amazing. We went to places where we'd see birds and wildlife, saw things we would never see on a traditional cruise ship, because we were in the middle of a bay and there was no one there, no life. No, well, life, of course, but no ships on life. And then the third excursion that we did that particular day was we took ATVs out. And I was thinking those things, the big wheels, they were more like very large golf carts. And it went way in the back row to see the nature and the views and all the panorama area. It was a really exhausting but amazing day. How the trip started was you arrived in Sitka and went on a day walking tour, because there are flights that come into Sitka throughout the day. We went on a city walking tour and got a little bit of history and got settled in. And then we went on a day cruise, which we thought, oh, okay, well, when we're done with the day cruise, we'll come back to Sitka and we'll get on the ship. But still, we had not seen the ship, so we didn't know what to expect. This was a four-hour trip, and we saw orca whales, we saw puffin, we saw all sorts of wildlife that I would never, ever, ever have seen before. I've been to Alaska several times. I've never seen puffin. Today that we did it, it was sunny, it was warm. There had been 40 or 50 puffin out in the water, which they said was very unusual. There was a Coast Guard that flew over, and they led us over to where a school of whales were. It was so cool. They said, oh, they don't normally do this. They must be a wayward little pod, and they took us over to it. And it was just an amazing way to start one of the most unusual trips I have ever been on. We went back towards Sitka, but never arrived there. We literally pulled up next to our ship and boarded from the day cruise to the ship to begin our adventure. The very first night, we had no idea what to expect. We got settled in, checked out our rooms, got to know our comrades for the next week. And then we went to dinner. Dinner is a one-time only dining. There's no room service. Everybody needs to get to know one another. There's no assigned seating, which is great. And I can't tell you enough about the food. The very first meal we had, I'll never forget, was a tarragon mushroom soup. Okay, I could have eaten that every day. The food was presented by a chef, and that's all he did on the ship, is he was our chef. And he prepared our meals, and he was very shy. He would come out at the end and and make sure everything was okay for everybody. And the variety of food was amazing. They also offered us, if we couldn't decide what to pick, which entree would you like? I don't know, I can't decide. They would give you a 50-50 order. So you got to try the lamb and you got to try the salmon. Okay, every meal had a salad or a soup. Desserts were amazing. Barry, in fact, I remember emailing you one of the pictures from a dessert.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, that was chocolate overload. But
yeah, that's why I would remember it. I love chocolate.
But the portions weren't so huge that you were stuffed and feeling terrible about yourself. It was the right amount of food. Of course, you could have more if you wanted. And the thing that was amazing about this cruise was the personal attention. Okay, the food, which I described some of it, but also the cultural aspect. Everything was included in this trip except alcohol, which is fine for me. We had no bill whatsoever at all. Tips are optional. We always pay tips because we realize that the staff is giving the very best service that they can and that everybody works for a living, and we tipped a high tip for everybody. You get a beer or wine with dinner, and then anything else is on your own. The cultural aspect of this cruise was phenomenal. I've never experienced anything like it. We had a gentleman with us who was our tour guide every day, all day. He lives on the ship. His name is Lee, and he is part Tlingit. And his role that they hired him on is just to be a really good historian so that we could all understand the culture of the people, the culture of the area. We experienced things that normally on a traditional cruise ship you wouldn't. They were in touch with a little boat, teeny two-person boat. It was a cousin of somebody. You know how in Hawaii everybody's cousins? It's very similar in Alaska. Oh yeah, there's my cousin George. He's got his radio on. So we pulled up near him, not to disturb him, but he was pulling up his line of halibut. So we watched from a distance someone pulling up the fresh halibut that he was going to go sell at the market the next morning.
Interesting, yeah.
It's like, wow. And so Lee took us everywhere. I mean, it was, I can't even put words to it other than I learned more about the culture and the history than ever before. We went to, as I mentioned, Cake, K-A-K-E. I'd never heard of it. We got to see someone make a totem pole. We saw cultural dances. We got to meet people who, they live on this island. It's not a touristy island. They're not there for the tourists. They live there because they live there and their family has lived there all their lives. And that's what made it so special. The only one day we went into a town that would be considered a traditional cruise port, and that was Juneau. We went to Juneau for a day, and so we actually got to do all the touristy stuff. We did Robert's Tram, and we walked around. I got to go to Heritage Coffee, which I love the Heritage Coffee shops, walk around, go to the salmon factory. Yeah, I got my tourist bill in one day. And when we got back, they said, how many of you have been to Juneau before? And almost everybody who had been on any sort of Alaskan cruise said, oh yeah. And they're like, well, what's your experience now of Juneau versus what you've been experiencing the rest of the week? And it was just such a profound effect about how we'd been in little towns and now we were in, of course, the capital of Alaska, and how different it was for us as travel agents to be able to experience something like this was absolutely amazing. I've talked to my clients about it. I need to qualify people for it. The type of client who would be good to be on this type of trip is one who's already done Carnival, Holland, Princess, that sort of thing, and want to be able to experience the cultural, the in-depth, the everything is included aspect. The cruise line is owned by a company that's very large in Alaska, and they have supported, hi Coco, their community so much. It's called the Allen family, and they are very well known now because, remember Barry, was it a year ago already when that plane went down in Hudson Bay back east?
Oh, I don't remember that.
There was a plane that went down in the bay, and it had to do with a bird getting into the engine. Back is at New York, New Jersey.
I do remember that when it did an emergency landing right in the bay.
Exactly.
Actually, in the river.
Yeah.
The Hudson River. Yep. That's coming back to me now.
Yes. Sorry about that. Won't help if I call it the right thing. the Allen Marine, which is owned by the Allen family, were the first rescue ships there. They produce commuter little boats. So they were going back and forth across the bay, and they were the first people there to be able to rescue the passengers on the plane. And they became pretty well known for that. And they actually originate out in Alaska, and they are very deep into the culture. And it's just wonderful to see that they're just trying to take a part of the tourism and be able to make it so that it's so culturally oriented. And I really want to commend them for taking on this new task, because they literally saved two small ships that would have just been dry docked and never used anymore. And they're revamping them to put passengers on. This is their second year, and they're doing really, really well. And to be able to qualify your client to do this, they do need to understand that, no, there's not going to be any big stage shows. Nope, you're going to have Lee telling you a bedtime story at night. What he does is he tells everybody to go to bed, and he says you could turn off your speakers or listen to my story as you're going to sleep. So Gail and I listen to his stories, and he talks all about the traditions and some of the stories that he grew up with. That's how we went to sleep at night. And that just doesn't happen on a regular cruise ship. So this is a whole spiritual experience for people while they're on a 7-night cruise.
Now, you talk about qualifying the clients. What price point is this cruise? Where does it fall?
The price point, as in all cruise ships, depends on location of the room, as well as the time of year. And as always in Alaska cruise ships, it's going to be roughly second or third week in May to second or third week in September. The rest of the year, the cruise ships will be doing other things that'll stay more local. The price range runs around $3,000 to $4,500 a passenger. So it can appear to be expensive. However, everything is included. When we got off the airplane, we were greeted at the airport and our bags vanished. They took us to a place to go get something to eat, dropped us off, said this is when your walking tour will start. From the moment they met us at the airport until the moment that they dropped us off at a van to take us back to the airport a week later, we had nothing but top-notch AA, AAA service. Everything we wanted or could think of was provided for us. We were right next to glaciers. We saw a Disney ship go by, and we just looked at it going, you know, That ship's about 10 stories high and has lots and lots of people on it. And we just looked at each other going, okay, we're happy we're here. So it's not going to be for your client who's looking for a budget rate cabin. It is for somebody who is looking for top quality and all-inclusive. One of the things that I will never forget is I went into my cabin. We just had a sailing day and we were looking at glaciers and it was really quiet and I heard this very loud sound outside. I couldn't figure out what it was. I opened my cabin door and there was an orca tail breaching right by us. I'm like, holy crumb. Okay, that's not what I said, but next to me, I looked around the corner and there was like six guys all dressed up warmly with big, big, big cameras, taking pictures. I've never, ever been that close to any sort of animal that's in the wilderness. He was just swimming there. We had stopped to float and he just came right. Oh, it was huge. I snuck back and I grabbed my camera and I got some great photos. It's that sort of thing. If we'd been on a traditional cruise ship, they would have just zoomed by and been so noisy, it would have scared them away.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. So, yes, in terms of qualifying for the client, you need to be prepared that they may balk at the price. The reality is the food and the service and everything that was included, you know what? You get what you pay for. You want a $4.99 under the Disco, Carnival, or Holland, or you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And the culture that went with it and the experience, totally separate. Totally, totally separate.
That's priceless.
Yes. They
Now,
didn't. They didn't.
how about physical limitations for clients? Do you have to be physically fit? Can you know what kind of limitations are there for clients in that regard?
Excellent question. If I'm going to have clients that have some walking limitations, I would definitely have them book their cabin on the floor where the dining area is and where you get on and off the ship. There were no elevators, so when we went up to our cabins, we did have to go one story, which for us is fine. We were healthy. But there were cabins at the main level, which are completely fine. They even gave us a tour of their cabins downstairs. And, they're the standard staff bunk room, no windows, that sort of thing. Ours had windows. There was no ocean view sort of thing. It's not that sort of ship where you have a balcony where you go out on. But the cabins were fine. And it had all the amenities. You have the normal stuff. One of the other things that I wanted to remind people on a ship like this, you get to know each other really well. And that was very cool. There was a family from Australia there. There was another family from New York with their kids. Now, normally, this is not the type of ship that you would take children. And I only say that because like a river cruise, they don't have the space to be able to have a kids room for kids to go play with. The kids on the ship were all very well behaved, very mature. Their range was between 14 and 17, so they were teenagers and they really enjoyed being able to experience all the culture, all the history, and that sort of thing. So that's the other thing to watch for is if you have a family that you're qualifying where they expect you to have entertainment by the staff for your children, again, this is not going to be what you're looking for.
Okay, now what if someone was not able to pilot a kayak? What would they do?
You know what? We had everybody who did. What they would do is they would take a staff person and have you get in it, and then they would help you with it.
Okay.
And everybody, you didn't have to be active, But I would definitely not recommend somebody who has a cast on, that sort of thing, because these were water related. And it's for the culture. It's being able to get a clear understanding of nature. We had one woman who stayed behind, and that was her choice. And at the end, she said she really missed out on a great experience because she didn't want to get in a kayak. And they were happy to help her in, happy to help her out. There was no particular reason that she couldn't do it, but she chose not to. And the staff say that almost all the time, people will finally give in and do it, and then are like the biggest supporters of, oh, you got to do this. You need to do the kayaking. So one of the things that's very different for this staff, and you got to know them really well. They were wonderful. They were our room stewards and our waiters and waitresses, all the same. And you got to talk with them. And they live locally. In fact, most of them live on Sitka the rest of the year. How this differs is they are on the ship 4 months at a time and then off on their regular lives for the rest of the year. A traditional cruise ship that's all year round, you may have somebody who's assigned somewhere between 3 and 6 months, and then they have a couple months off and they go home and then they come back. This family, they hire their staff locally. Like I said, many of them work right in the town of Sitka, and they are on the ship all week long. The only time they're really not on the ship is when we're in Juneau. That's their day off. But they sleep on the ship every single night.
Wow, quite a commitment.
One of the experiences that we had that was unique to this is we went to a place called Orca Lodge. And it seemed like with the name Lodge, you would have people staying there, but it's more of a convention center. During the most of the season, different cruise ships will come in and have lunches there. They'll be on it would be an optional excursion for, say, somebody on a Disney ship or Holland America Princess, and it's one of the optional excursions. And what they would do is they'd be on a 3 or 4 hour whale watching trip, and then they would come here to have lunch. Well, at this facility, what your traditional customer would have is a barbecued salmon or barbecued chicken and a buffet. What we experienced, when we talked with them, they don't have this for the regular ships. It's because they're part of the Allen family. They served us Alaska king crab. And I think, Barry, I sent you a picture of it. These were monsters. I mean, the arm of the crab was huge. They were fresh, and it was all you could eat. I ate one. I had taken a second one and I just gave it to somebody, one of our fellow travelers. He was going to get another. I'm like, would you do me a favor? Would you just take this? Because I can't possibly eat it. It was fresh Alaskan king crab. They also had kebabs. They had like a halibut kebab and a beef kebab. Those were good also. But also, they had a huge pit where they were making s'mores. Oh my God. They had s'mores that had Reese's peanut butter cups in them.
Oh,
Yummy.
wow.
And then they also went and caught a salmon and they did a demonstration for us and they filleted it right there. Unknown to us, that was going to be our dinner the next night. In fact, I asked Chef, I said, Chef, is this the same fish we watched? Because it was a paler. It was more of a albino salmon versus the bright red salmon. And we watched them cut it up and fillet it and put it in a tray. And the next day, I'm just like, Chef, is this what they caught yesterday? He goes, yeah. It was that fresh. If we could have had it while we were at this facility, I'm sure they would have given it to us, but they had already fed us. So they definitely used their local resources. Everything that was food related was local on the ship. It was local to the area.
Well, Making me hungry.
So this is definitely something I would encourage my fellow travel agents to give it a try. If you're trying to think of something different for you yourself to experience, give them a try. They're called Alaska Dream Cruises. They're located actually in Sitka. They have like real staff. You're not calling this huge call center. You're calling their office in Sitka. There's probably like three people on the phone. And it's all season and it's absolutely amazing. In fact, the reason we saw the other ship is they were bringing us some supplies. And that's the only reason we saw the other ship. They were just like, hey, we're in the area. You guys need some more, whatever, fresh produce. We have some extra here. Let's meet up. We'll do an exchange.
Well, now I was looking back here. On April 22nd, I think that's the day the podcast was put up. That if you go back to that date in the show notes at hometravelagent.net, there'll be an interview there with Michael Wine from Alaska Dream Cruises, and he has a lot of information on the details, how to get a hold of them, what they do for travel agents, and that type of thing. Lorene's experience here is, real life, actual experience on the ship. But if you want to learn more, go back to the April 22nd podcast and check that out, and you'll hear Michael Weiss from Alaska Dream Cruises on that show.
And he interviewed very well. And so I'm able to come through this having been on the interview with him going, oh, that sounds really interesting. Okay, yeah, that sounds great. To now having experienced it going, oh my God, you have to do this. We were coming back from being on shore, and I think it was Cake. It was the town that we were in. Had been in several. We were also in Petersburg one day, and that was great. Got to see the kids do traditional dance, and they told stories. You say, oh, what did you do yesterday? And kids go, oh, I was on Facebook, or I was in front of the TV. No, these kids are like, I went fishing. One kid said how he cut his finger and he put duct tape on it, and it got swollen, and he had to go see the doctor. Yeah. Real life experience without the, oh yeah, I went to Blockbuster and I rented four movies or Twittered with my friend. It was none of that. It was old time experience and it was rather enduring. But coming back onto the ship, there was somebody there who had made jams and jellies. And we bought one, I have it, that's a cranberry jelly that was made from cranberries right there on the island.
Oh.
So yeah. They didn't even have on the ship, they didn't even have a place to buy anything. They had a lending library, but there was nothing to buy on the ship. They're like, well, we don't do that. No t-shirts, no art, no gambling. They're like, we don't do that. So it's a very different experience, and I really hope that some of the listeners can experience it for themselves and also sell it to their clients. If you want to do something that's completely unique and keep them here in the States, because unfortunately, airfare to Europe right now is absolutely insane, send them over here. They have various options. They have the 8 day, 7 night Sitka to Sitka cruise. There's also options where you can have a 3 night cruise where people come on from Juneau. That was interesting. We had a couple people that we met on the trail at the Mendenhall Glacier, and then we saw them on the ship. They hadn't been on the ship prior to that. So they do have different options. And keep in mind, on this sort of thing, you actually don't need a passport. We never left the United States.
Oh yeah, true.
Yeah. I just went, oh, I don't need my passport. Okay. So definitely, and thank you, Barry, for letting me talk about it. It was wonderful. I wish we'd just been able to talk about this earlier.
Well, I tell you, the enthusiasm that you express here on the show is coming through loud and clear, so I know it's a great trip.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get you and Gail to do one of these days. And you know what? Gail and I would be happy to go redo it with you.
All right. We could get Gail and Gail on the show too, and there'd be a four of us with all kinds of enthusiasm. In fact, you mentioned to me that Gail wanted to be on the show to talk about it.
That's right. That's right. I told her we were doing a recording today, and she said, "Oh, what are you doing on?" And I said, "Oh, our Sitka, Alaska cruise." "Well, how come I can't be on it? You're going to talk about personal experience. You're working tonight." "Oh, yeah."
Dang.
Dang. So she was here talking about it too.
Yeah, I'm sure she's just as enthused as you are, which would be cool. I mean, it would be neat to have her on.
But thank you for letting me talk about the experiential part of it. And I'm sure if there was other agents who have been on it with us, they would do about the same. It was absolutely amazing. The wildlife that we saw there, the big ships just couldn't go where this little ship went.
Much more to see that way.
That's right. But thank you again, and we'll do our usual wrap-up unless you have other questions.
No, I don't. So, Laureen, our great guest on this show, and actually more than a guest, the co-host, but a guest too today, how do they get a hold of you? By email, Facebook?
Absolutely. I can be reached at sharptongued@mac.com, and that's spelled sharptongued@mac.com. I also am on Facebook under Laureen R, and I'm working with Catherine Heeg to help bring up my travel agent business Facebook page, which is Sharp Tongue Consulting. So I'm going to start sending our listeners to that soon. We are in the progress of putting it together, and not surprisingly, I might have some Hawaiian or Alaskan photos on there.
Oh, yeah. I wonder why you do that.
Yeah, I don't know. And Barry, how do our listeners reach you?
Well, they can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, and on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, the initials for Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And stop over there, like the page, and I'm getting more and more people over there liking the page as we go along, so that's great. And the more people that like it, you know, the more benefits, the more little goodies that Facebook gives you to look at. And I'm over the hump on one of those, the numbers that I need. So just keep on coming and liking the page. And, you know, I don't post there all the time, so you're not going to get overwhelmed with a lot of things, a lot of posts. But when I do post something, it's usually related to the show coming up, a little bit of insight. And sometimes, like Gary Ebels yesterday, sent Laureen and I a link about from U.S. News and World Report about how people are going back to travel agents because people are done with or tired of the do-it-yourself approach. So anyhow, you'll see those types of things on the Home-Based Travel Agent Show Facebook page. Thanks very much, Laureen, for a great interview, a great review of your experience on the Alaska Dream Cruise. It was wonderful, and boy, after listening to that, if I'm excited, and if listeners aren't excited, well, they'd have to go on it to overcome that, I think. So anyhow, thanks again.
And I also want to give a thank you to NACTA for allowing us to be an affiliate member. I know that we've brought on more of our listeners due to their exposure, which is great. And I just want to thank them again for the FAM opportunity. And if you're not a NACTA member, definitely take a look at them at NACTA.com. It's well worth the investment and the education. And I'm telling you, it's making me a better travel agent.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Barry. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Laureen, for the great information about the Alaskan Dream Cruise Lines. And I really appreciate it. And next month, we will be back with another show here in October. And I look forward to seeing you all at that time. And remember, you can find us at hometravelagent.net or over at facebook.com/HBTAS. And we look forward to having you back in October when the weather here is changing in Michigan and all the colors will be out in full force here in western Michigan where I'm located at. And Laureen is out there in Windsor, California, north of San Francisco. So once again, thanks everybody for listening to the show, and I hope you have safe travels. Stay healthy. And we'll see you next month. Bye-bye now.
Jazz is dead, they say, belongs in the past. You gotta roll in the new, make your fancy schmancy pseudo explanations why jazz won't last. Well, I'm here to tell you, jazz ain't dead. It's moving ahead. Let it breathe, let it grow. Miles won't have it so long in jazz. Jazz is dead, they say, in a straight jacket, locked away in a closet. Put your fancy, dancy, pricey label on it, 'cause jazz ain't free. Well, I've got some big news for you, jazz ain't dead. It's moving ahead. Let it breathe, let it grow. Miles won't have it so long. Live jazz. Well, I've got some big news for you, jazz ain't dead, it's moving ahead. Let it breathe, let it grow, miles won't have it so long with jazz. Long with jazz. Bye.